Good morning, friends, and welcome to another edition of the Let the Bible Speak program. We're glad that you've joined us this morning. On the program, we want to look at the importance of obedience to God. I believe all of us understand that are listening to this program the need for obedience to God, but I want to talk in particular about the proper kind of obedience. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9, speaking of Jesus, we're told that He went to the cross, He died on the cross, and having been made perfect or complete, Hebrews 5 verse 9, He became unto all them that obey Him the author of eternal salvation. We want Jesus, of course, to save us, but we have to obey Him. All that obey Him, Jesus is the author or cause of our eternal salvation. This morning I want us to talk about obedience to God. And in particular, I want to talk about the importance of obeying God on His terms and not on our own terms. In order to illustrate this, I want us to use the story of King Saul, the first of the three kings of the United Kingdom. If you'll turn back with me to 1 Samuel chapter 15, we're going to look at a command that God gave to Saul through Samuel. And we're going to see how that he wanted to obey God, but on his own terms. And so this morning, I believe we all understand the importance of obedience, but when we get down to looking at the details in our own life, we really want to obey God on our terms. We want to obey God the way we want to, when in fact, friends, we cannot do that. When God tells us something to do, we need to do it exactly the way He tells us to do that. We need to follow the Scripture in detail and do that the way He wants in order to be pleasing to Him. We can't just simply, in some sort of a generic way, follow God and modify it to fit our own liking. We have to obey God on His terms, not on our own terms. If you've turned back in your Old Testaments to 1 Samuel chapter 15, we're going to begin reading in verse 1. We're going to see the story of where God told Saul to utterly destroy the Amalekites. And that was the command that was given. Now, Saul had a choice to obey or to disobey. What we're going to do is we're going to find that Saul partially obeyed and then partially disobeyed, which in God's eyes is complete disobedience. And so we want to obey God on His terms, not our own terms. We don't want to modify or adjust what He says in His Word in some way. And really, if you think about it, one reason why we have so much religious division today is not because the Bible causes all of that division. God is clear in His commands and what He wants us to do, but man has come along and has sought to obey God in their own way and by their own terms, and that changes, you see, what is in the Scripture. And so we get all kinds of religions, all kinds of doctrines, all kinds of church denominations, teaching and practicing and promoting all kinds of different things. And so we need to get back to the basic principle of obeying God and the way He did that. When Noah built the ark, the text says that he built the ark exactly as God had commanded him to do that. That needs to be our attitude. But in 1 Samuel chapter 15, I want to read the first three verses. The command that was given to Saul to utterly destroy the Amalekites. 1 Samuel chapter 15, beginning in verses 1 through 3. Let us consider what is in the text. And Samuel said unto Saul, Jehovah sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of Jehovah. Thus saith Jehovah of hosts, I have marked that which Amalek did to Israel, how he set himself against him in the way when he came up out of Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep and camel and ass. And so we find the command then to utterly destroy the Amalekites in verse 3. The reason is given because they came out against Israel when they were coming up out of Egypt. And you can read that story in Exodus chapter 17, verses 8 through 16. Amalek and his people came and fought against Israel. He didn't want them leaving Egypt and going to the land of promise. He got in the way. He wanted to make war with them. And because he got in the way, God said that he was going to destroy them. Exodus 17, verses 8 through 16. Well, we finally come now to the fulfillment of that. It took many years, but God always keeps his word, and he has a right time in which to fulfill his word. And so now he wants, in the days of Saul, about 1050 B.C., he wants Saul to utterly destroy the Amalekites. And when you read later in the story, we're going to read all of the verses, you're going to find that Saul believed that he had done that. For example, look at verse 13, 1 Samuel 15, verse 13. Blessed be thou of Jehovah, I have performed the commandment of Jehovah. He believed he had obeyed. Look at verse 20. Saul said to Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of Jehovah. He clearly thought he had done that. But God said he had not. In verse 11, God said, Saul has turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. Look at verse 19. Look at verse 23. God says that Saul did not obey him. So just because we believe we have obeyed, just because we say we have obeyed, that doesn't mean that we have done that. This morning, friends, I want us to learn about obeying God on his terms from this story in the life of Saul. Let's consider seven important lessons this morning from this text. Number one, Saul obeyed only part of God's command. Remember the command back in 1 Samuel 15, verse 3, utterly destroy the Amalekites, do not spare any man, woman, infant, suckling, oxen, sheep, camel, and ass. And so all of the people, young and old, were to be slain, and all of the animals were to be slain. What we're going to find, as we read down verses 4 through 9, is that Saul obeyed only part of the command. And that's not good enough with God. Let's read 1 Samuel 15 and verse 4. And Saul summoned the people and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to the city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said unto the Kenites, go, depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For ye have showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah as thou goest to Shur, that is, before Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, they destroyed utterly. Well, is that what God said back in verse 3? Utterly destroy all that they have. And he mentioned both men and women, which would include the king. And he mentioned animals. But we find in verse 7, 8, 9 that Saul partially obeyed God's word. He just utterly destroyed all the people. But he spared Agag, and he spared some of the best of the sheep and the oxen and the fatlings. And that goes against verse 3, where God said, slay all of the oxen and the sheep and the camels and the ass. And he spared some of that. The best of the sheep, he was going to keep that. God didn't say that. And so lesson number one, Saul obeyed only part of God's command. Friends, we need to understand that all of a command that comes from God, all of it is important. All parts of each command are important. When God gives a command and the terms of the command, all of the command is important. We can't simply do what part that we want. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 23. And verse 23, when Jesus is rebuking the scribes and the Pharisees, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for you tithe mint, anise, and cumin, and have left undone the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith, but these ought you to have done and not left the other undone. We have to do all of what God says. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19, when Jesus tells his apostles to go into all the world and make disciples. Go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now listen carefully, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. That's a part of being a disciple of Christ. And we can know what is God's word. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 4, Paul said that when you read, you might perceive my understanding in the mystery of Christ. We can understand what Paul wrote. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 17, be not ignorant, but understand what the will of the Lord is. God does not give us a command that is too hard for us to understand, where parts of it can be understood and parts of it cannot. All of it is understandable. Saul understood all of what God had said. He chose simply not to follow all of that command. He made some decisions on his part that he thought were fine. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 9, we read, back to the story of Saul in 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 9, Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep. Well, who gave them that right to do that? You see, a lot of times people want to obey God on their own terms. They want to make some executive decisions, as it were, and change some things. But we cannot do that. Today, many pick and choose which of God's commands they will obey, or which portions of a command they will obey, what part of it they will obey. With regard to baptism, for example, some people will practice baptism and they will immerse in water, but they won't do it for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38. Some will practice baptism and they will change the mode to sprinkling or pouring water, when in the New Testament it was immersion. They will change the purpose of baptism. They will change the candidate of baptism and baptize little babies, when we don't find that anywhere in Scripture. Some people will obey part of God's commands with regard to worshiping and giving and other things involving the church, but then parts of the commands they will change to suit their own liking. You see, friends, we need to obey God, but we need to do all of what God commands, not just part of it. And we don't need to be making any decisions of what we think might be good. In 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 9, Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and all that was good and would not utterly destroy them. He made a decision of what he thought was good and what wasn't. But everything that was vile and refuse, they destroyed utterly. Well, that's not your call. That's not your decision, Saul. That's not what God wanted you to do. Go back to verse 3 and read that again. So when we obey God, we need to do all of God's commands. The second lesson that we can learn from this story is that Saul believed that he had obeyed God when in fact he had not. A lot of people think that they've obeyed God when they really haven't. Let's read verses 10 through 13. We're going to find here that Saul believed he had obeyed God when in fact he had not. He was deceived. And there are many religious people today think that they're obeying God when they're deceived. They're not. Let's read 1 Samuel 15, 10 through 13. Then came the word of Jehovah unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he is turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. Now keep in mind, back in verses 4 through 9, he had done part of it, but not all of it. And God views that as not performing my commandments. Partial obedience is not obedience with God. Verse 11, and Samuel was wroth, and cried unto Jehovah all night. And Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, and it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a monument and turned and passed on and went down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of Jehovah, I have performed the commandment of Jehovah. He believed he had obeyed God when he had not. Obedience is accomplished when we hear and do all of God's word, not when we simply claim to obey. Simply claiming to obey God's word doesn't make it so. People make claims all the time. People make religious statements and claims all the time, but the only way we know that we have fully obeyed God is to match up our actions with what the scripture teaches. Then we know if we have truly obeyed. We're not just simply making claims and assertions. Do you remember when the children of Israel were going through the wilderness in the Old Testament, and God told Noah to speak to the rock and he would provide water for the people? Well, we read in Numbers chapter 20 and verse 8 that he didn't do that. Take the rod and assemble the congregation, you and Aaron, thy brother, and speak unto the rock before their eyes that it give forth its water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water, so thou shalt give the congregation and the cattle to drink. We come on down to verse 11, and Moses lifted up his hand and smote the rock. Go back to verse 8. God said for him to speak to the rock. He smote the rock with his rod twice, and water came forth abundantly, and the congregation drank and their cattle. And Jehovah said unto Moses and Aaron, Because you believe not in me to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. And we know that Moses was not allowed to go into the land of Canaan. Why? He struck the rock, verse 11, when he was told to speak to the rock. And somebody might say, well, that's a slight difference. It's not a big deal. It's all the same thing. No, it's not. And Moses was kept out of the land of Canaan for that very reason. So, obedience needs to be all of what God says. And when we do not obey, but still claim to, that doesn't make it so. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 that in the judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy, and did we not do this, and did we not do that? Jesus says in Matthew 7 and verse 21, Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. It's not just about saying things. Religious people say things all the time. But that doesn't make it so. It's doing the will of the Father that is proof of obedience. Many will say unto me in that day, the judgment day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy by thy name, and by thy name cast out demons, and by thy name do many mighty works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity or lawlessness. Just saying that we have obeyed doesn't make it so. The proof is, have we actually done that? Here's a third lesson. Saul tried to place the blame for his disobedience on the people. Let's keep reading in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 14 through 16. And Samuel said, What meaneth then the bleating of the sheep? That's the noise that they're making, that sheep make. Saul told Samuel, I've obeyed. And then Samuel says, Well, why am I hearing sheep? The command was to utterly destroy everything, including the sheep. Go back to verse 3 and read that. Why am I hearing sheep? Samuel says. And the lowing of the oxen which I hear. And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto Jehovah thy God. And the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, Stay, and I will tell thee what Jehovah hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, Say on. Notice that he placed blame on the people. He tried to pass it off. And this happens all the time. Passing off responsibility to others does not absolve us of our disobedience. When God told Adam, asking Adam, Why have you eaten of this fruit? He said, The woman that you gave me. made me to eat. Always passing off the responsibility or blame on someone else. I think about Aaron in Exodus chapter 32, verses 22 and 23. Aaron allowed the children of Israel to engage in idolatry. And he said, well, the people brought me their things and I took this gold and I threw it into the fire and out came a calf. Today, many people disobey God and then appeal to others. And they say, well, you know, they wanted it and they made me do it. The people spared the best of the sheep. So Saul's putting it off on the people. Sometimes people disobey God and then they'll say something like, well, I'm just following church tradition. Or a church survey said that we should do such and such. Family and friends believe it this way. My pastor said, that's what I was told. No, we need to follow God's word. And we need to open up the Bible and read it for ourselves and quit trying to pass off the responsibility for our disobedience on somebody else. As we're going to continue reading in the chapter, we find that that does not work with God. A fourth lesson, Saul tried to justify his disobedience by saying that it was for worship. It's a good thing. Did you notice that in verse 15? The people spared the best of the sheep and oxen to sacrifice unto Jehovah. So, yes, I disobeyed, but we're going to use it for a good cause. This is the old end justifies the means. We disobey even when our disobedience is done in the name of God or what we believe to be something that God might want. I'm doing it in the name of religion. I'm doing it in the name of worship. I'm doing it in the name of Christianity. Well, that doesn't make it right. The only thing we know that makes it right is, did we get it from God's word? There have been all kinds of atrocities committed in the name of Christianity. People saying that it was for good. Do you know that right after the Civil War, the Ku Klux Klan and groups like that were racist, they would do things, kill people, they would lynch people, and they would do it in the name of Christianity. The Crusades were in the name of Christianity. Just because people have a noble cause doesn't make it right. The end does not justify the means. Both the end and the means must be authorized by God. People today say, well, look at the good that it is doing. Or God would be happy if I did such and such. And we offer contemporary worship and we do this and we do that. And look at how many people it brings in. Look at how many people we're reaching with the Bible. But what we're doing may not be authorized, etc., etc. So it's the old, yes, we spared it, but it was to sacrifice unto Jehovah. Well, God still didn't accept it or like it. He disobeyed. And we've got to learn that, friends. Another lesson that we learn from this story is that Saul was more concerned for the cause of the disobedience than the fact of his own disobedience. He was more concerned with all the whys than the what of what he had done. Look at 1 Samuel 15, verse 17. And Samuel said, though thou wast little in thine own sight, and was made the head of the tribes of Israel, Saul was made a king. And Jehovah anointed thee king over Israel, and Jehovah sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of Jehovah, but didst fly upon the spoil, and did that which was evil in the sight of Jehovah. And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of Jehovah, and have gone the way of which Jehovah sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. He's still sticking to his story that he's obeyed God, when Samuel has made it clear that he hasn't. He's still sticking to his story. Well, I've obeyed. And then he offers up the excuse again, verse 21. But the people took the spoil, sheep and oxen. the chief of the devoted things, the sacrifice unto Jehovah thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, hath Jehovah as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of Jehovah? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as idolatry and teraphim. Because thou hast rejected the word of Jehovah, he hath also rejected thee from being king. And then in time, Saul is removed from being king and David takes his place. Saul was more concerned for the cause of his disobedience, the people, than his own disobedience. All the whys and wherefores and excuses we can offer up for our disobedience does not change the fact of our disobedience. God called it rebellion and stubbornness. Verse 23. Disobedience is disobedience. Today, many continue to offer their whys and wherefores, even after their disobedience has been pointed out to them. You'll be talking with someone about religious matters, and they're not doing things the way God has commanded those things, and they'll say, well, I still think. Or you'll point out something to somebody in the Bible, and they'll say, well, that's just your opinion. Or, but you don't understand. And they just keep offering up those things. No, friends, we need to obey God on His terms. Another lesson that we learn is that Saul feared the people and was more interested in pleasing men than pleasing God. Let's keep reading in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 24. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of Jehovah. He finally owns up to that. And thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now he's getting to the heart of the matter. He admits that he sinned. He admits that he transgressed God's commandment. He finally comes to terms with that. But he gives the reason for that. I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now therefore I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me that I may worship Jehovah. And that really is a problem even today. We must not fear men but God. Acts 5:28, Peter and John preached that we must obey God rather than men. We must not fear men, but God. We must obey God, not men. We must put God first. We must please God, not be someone who's pleasing men, Paul said, Galatians 1 and verse 10. If we make a friendship with the world, we are at enmity with God, James chapter 4 and verse 4. We don't preach and act as a Christian and obey to please people, but to please God. Today, many disobey God because they fear someone or something. They fear rejection. They fear commitment. They fear sacrifice. They fear that they're going to have to give up something, personal desires. They fear persecution. But we must obey God so that we can be rewarded in the end and not fear these kinds of things. And then last of all, Saul was rejected for his disobedience. If you keep reading in the story, verse 26, Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of Jehovah, and Jehovah hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. When God says that we have disobeyed, there's no changing it. When God makes his final decision about us in the judgment day, there's no changing it. So friends, let us be right with God. As we close this morning, let us understand that many people today do not obey God on his terms, but their own terms. And so God demands complete and total obedience. Let's put Him first. Let's obey and put Him first in our life. Let us wholly obey the Lord in all things and on His terms alone. And if we can get together with you and study from God's Word so that you can be helped in obeying God, we would encourage you. Please contact us. The information is given at the close of this program. Let us obey God on His own terms. Then and only then can we be pleasing to Him and go and be with Him for all eternity in heaven. Thank you for your time this morning and your attention, and have a good day.